welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports. Well, do you have a copy of Significance Athletics and Sports magazine? We have 4 issues live right now on Amazon. And I'm really excited because I'm here to tell you, people who have been contributing to the garden, they're growing. People who have contributed to the magazine are growing. Yeah, that's what it's called when you do your expert marketing. When you put yourself out there as the expert, people will come calling. One of those individuals, I must admit, I was just too thrilled. I put it inside the private Facebook group that Dr. Troy, the athletic director at Creekside, located in Georgia outside of Atlanta, she was featured on the AD podcast, which is a podcast for high school athletic directors. And instead of just sharing about her her journey toward the seat as athletic director, which she's held for like 14 years, she shared a bit of her intellectual property, information that she has created within her 14 years. And that was manage your energy. Manage your energy. And so she was on the Advanced Academy call this Sunday, and we kind of like deep dive with that and how that came about. And here's the interesting thing. She was in the magazine. I think it was the second magazine. And she purchased several copies as a product and be able to distribute it around her area as expertise. It has gained her other opportunities such as this. She spoke at the National NIAAA, which is the convention for high school athletic directors. So if you're looking to speaking opportunities, if you're looking to really advance in your professional development because you grow when you connect with other circles, this is what you need to do. You really need to contribute to the 6th magazine. The 5th magazine is in production as we speak, and I'm taking individuals for the next one. We only do 2 magazines a year, and this one will come out in August. So if this is something that you're interested in, if you are interested in marketing yourself as an expert, getting speaking engagements, and let's be clear, increasing your income streams, because this is one of those. I was really glad to talk with you about it. So inbox me at MoniqueAJSmith@seasonempowerment.info. We have some Meet the Contributors Facebook Lives within the private Facebook group, so you can actually see what the process is like. And it is not painful, but I do assist you. Now, if you're someone who's looking for their next opportunity and you want to grow in the area of confidence, this will assist you, because honestly, in 50 words, you've got to say, what do you do really well to every institution you've been at? What is the problem that you have solved for every institution? That is what this is all about. Yes. So again, if you are interested in being in the 6th issue, contact me at MoniqueAJSmith@seasonempowerment.info. If you are interested in purchasing issues 1 through 4, you can go get them from Amazon, so you can get them with your Prime immediately. But if you want to pre-order the 5th issue, which will come out in March, so when I make my first order, my first batch, you want to be in the first batch, go ahead and subscribe to PayHip. Go to payhip.com, payhip, P-A-Y-H-I-P.com, /Caesar Empowerment to go place your order. We were glad to get you in on the first order. Yes, indeed. And so I'm really glad about what we're able to do here in the garden by using these resources to grow you. We did have our monthly mastermind last Sunday, and y'all know who I am. I fell upon this book. It was an audio book. I had it for a while. And it's by our good friend, John Maxwell. Now, I've been following John Maxwell for over 25 years. Over 25 years. And I have read almost every book he has. But I tell you, this right here is going to be my favorite. It is called The Leader's Greatest Return. Now, what do you think the greatest return for a leader is? Seeing the individuals that they have mentored become leaders. Yes. Yes. Seeing developing and multiplying leaders. You know, it's funny. I remember years and years and years ago, I think it was like 98, 99, I happened to be on a plane with Dr. Harvey, the former president of Hampton University. You know, he was president of Hampton University for 40 years. And, again, this is 98, 99. I don't know where I was going, but nobody was on this plane. It was the strangest thing. But anyhow, yes, I'm alumnus at Hampton University, and Dr. Harvey recognized me. And he said, you know, and I don't know what the number was, but let's just say 10. Do you know I got 10 presidents out here that come from my tutelage? The man was bragging to me about the number of presidents that used to work for him at Hampton University. So, yes, that is the greatest return. As for me, when I say this young lady or this young man is now athletic director and he came through me as a mentee, that's the greatest return, the greatest return. So here's the thing. In order to advance, you got to have somebody under you. You got to demonstrate that you can lead others. So this, and we're concentrating on this for 3 months, this quarter. So you want to get on the bandwagon. This is an area that you want to grow in, how to create other leaders. And you, mind you, you didn't hear me say followers. I said leaders. You want to jump on the bandwagon and join the Advanced Academy. Yes. Join the Advanced Academy. We meet every third Sunday at 9 p.m. So you really shouldn't have anything really going at 9 p.m. And we grow together. So this is a resource that we're going to concentrate on. Right now, we are concentrating on attracting. You know, I think it's identifying. Yeah, we're identifying. We're identifying the leaders. And so basically you got to think about, I'm just going to give you identifying. Find them so you can develop them. So again, I always say leadership begins with self-examination. So you really got to look about what you stand for. What are you exuding? What culture that you demonstrated? How did you become the leader that you are? Who are the leaders that had the most impact on you? And let's be clear, what leaders that did not do well that you said you'd never do that? Before you step out there and go get you, go get your crew. Go get your crew. And I will tell you the best advice I received from a new position that I was embarking upon, the supervisor said, go get your own people. Go get your own people. And I'm telling you, when you get your own people, the magic happens. But how do you know how to get the right people? And I will say, I have been blessed. I mean blessed. Out of 30-plus years being in this business, that I have been having, I don't know, God given gifts to find the people with the potential. And if we were in person, I said, can I get an amen? But yeah, that definitely. So again, this is a book that I'm excited about. So come on and join on in with us. Please. And so I'm excited about Seawall Foundation offering media training for student athletes. With name, image, and likeness on that, this is important training. Kami Waller is the founder and extensive background with Seawall Sports Entertainment. You can really find her on Facebook, where she covers all things in the DMV as it relates to sports. Yes, and behind the scenes. So she's got great experience about what our young people need to be doing to portray themselves very well in the media and sports. So, and I like to say she's preparing our players for lights, camera, action, so we don't have any sorry, Miss Jackson moments. So for more information, email her at info@seawallfoundation.org. Again, seawallfoundation.org. And get her on deck to work with your young people. This is what we do. We grow together. We grow together here. And here's another resource that I really believe is really necessary. Surviving the Lights, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Learn the Curse by Tawana Smith. And what is the curse, you ask? The curse is you get money and you blink your eye, the money is gone. One of the areas your money is gone is taxes, and you don't even know it. Yes. And because income coming in to young people at a certain amount puts them in an area where they have to, number one, file taxes for sure, to get over $600. And y'all know that it's state and federal. So who's protecting that? And why are we talking about it now? Because now students can get money. Student athletes get money, and it puts them in a different area. They're professional athletes before they're professional athletes. So this book right here really alerted me to, and it's beautiful because my brain now, when I see individuals, I say, oh, you'd be really good with our student athletes because they don't know blank. And the one thing I'm screaming and shouting about is the taxes. Because even if the young people get paid with free gear, they're still taxable. Yeah. So that your mind would be alert to all of these things, I would suggest you get this book on your bookshelf, Surviving the Lights of Professional Athletes Playbook, The Lord and the Curse by Tawana Smith. It is in three different formats, audio, paperback, and ebook. Alva Amica, Educational Risk Management Consultant, owns Vigilant Safety Training Center. We like to say policy to practice. The center has the following trainings. First responder training. If we think about that Monday night football, those individuals save their child's life with that CPR. Point blank. I thought I would never use the word point blank. I can't believe I just said that. But the key is, those trainings that you have on your campuses that nobody really wants to do and tries to avoid it and say, I'm not going to be there that day, or they think that's a free day not to come to work, CPR, yeah. So this is one of those things that is really key, really, really key. So first responder training, sport and event staff certification, those are the people with the yellow jackets on during the game. Yeah, that's supposed to not be watching the game, but watching the crowd. But because you have, outsourced it, you think your responsibility toward that is away. No, it isn't, because those people need to be trained in your policy procedures. Okay, workspace safety and personal training and operations. If anything I've said, I'm not doing that. I don't know how we're doing that area. That's fine. She will provide you a free assessment of how you are doing in that area. And then make recommendations. And then she'll give you her price list of how she can come help you. Now, can you beat that? No. So go to www.vigilancestc.com. vigilancestc.com. Now, I'm telling you, I'm glad, really, really glad about partnering with Athletes Make Moves to bring you this Friday, today is the 18th, the day after tomorrow, it's Friday. So we're looking at January the 20th. Athletes Making Moves brings this Friday Name, Image, and Likeness Combine information, a free opportunity to learn about the latest on name, image, and likeness. It's created for student athletes and athletic directors. It is virtual, and again, it is free this Friday, January 20th at 2 p.m. Eastern. I will be there. I'm not missing that. To sign up for 1 hour, a 1 hour information session, go to bit.ly/NIL combine information. Okay? Go to bit.ly/NIL combine, combineinfo. Let me say it again. bit.ly/NIL combine, combineinfo. I'm looking forward to seeing you there. Yes, this is going to be great. And she is having a large conference in, I want to say, it's in the spring. It's in the spring or the early summer. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot from being a part of her combine. And I'm looking forward to see what other resources and groups of folks. And it's needed, people, because our young people just don't know. They just don't know. I mean, I'm talking about taxes and whatnot. And that there was a informational piece that came out about things to be careful with this collective. And to be honest with you, I need some more information about these collectives, because for some reason, I just feel like it goes against the whole point of the name, image, and likeness, to have the young people make their own money off of it. It seems like it's still going back to the pot. So I just need to be educated. And since the name, image, and likeness is a fluid situation, we need to get as much information as we can. So, again, join me Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern time to get the latest on this. And look, more importantly, and I think this is what's going to probably be very helpful, have your young people ready for some questions, because probably from those questions, she will try to really do that in the answer those and get those speakers to address that, to plan her agenda. This is why I think this is really great. So, you know, I'm going to be there with my ink pen. You need to come with yours. Well, the time has come to meet. I don't know how to do a drum roll with our latest live guest. This is our second live guest for 2023, and her name is Nichelle Womble, Esquire. And just really excited to talk to her about her journey. And she's a general manager for the Tampa Bay Panthers, a semi-professional women's football, basketball team. So welcome to the garden.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
I am really glad. I mean, when I say I'm ready to pick your brain, honey, I'm ready to pick your brain.
And I have some information to give.
I mean, I'm telling you, this litigation world with sports is highly fluid, you know, highly fluid. And I know that you got some great experiences. But before we do all that, just tell the audience your journey from college to your current position?
So after undergrad, I went to the University of Miami to get my master's in sports management. Law school and being an attorney has always been the goal, always been the dream, but I also wanted to work in sports as well as be a criminal defense attorney. So first stop on that journey was getting my master's from University of Miami. After I got my master's in sports management, I interned with a semi-pro team in Orlando and actually worked my way up in a couple of months to being director of operations for their women's team that they eventually, a year after they started their men's team, this was in about 2017. And then when they stopped, I actually met an owner of a sports agency during my time with the Orlando Waves, and as the director of operations was in charge of doing contracts, signing players, connected with this sports agency owner, and when I stopped working for the Waves, I actually worked for the sports agency for a while, started as the administrative assistant, and then worked my way up to the chief operations officer, as well as the director of the women's division, and I was a certified agent at the time. Worked there for a couple years prior to going back to law school in 2018. Graduated from law school in 2021, took the Florida bar, passed on the first time in July of 2021, and I am now also licensed in D.C. as well as of December 2022. And so I'm licensed in Florida, licensed in D.C., currently work for Lentil Law Group, do civil rights, civil sports and entertainment. I do with Lentil, but more so do that on the side. I'm a FIBA agent. I'm also the general manager of the Tampa Bay Panthers, and we are looking to start our own women's league, which will be called WEBA, and hopefully that will be kicking off within the next few months.
Well, my God, you a busy bee. I thought I was busy. I thought I had four jobs and was just, like, juggling. No, I think you Miami beat.
I am very busy, but I love it.
So do I. So do I. Well, I've got to ask this question. I don't know if you're aware, I'm an adjunct faculty at Hampton University teaching sports management courses. And I just had my second day of class. So you know how the first day of class, you go around, tell me, you know, what's your name and what you want to do. Take a guess of what everybody wants to do.
Manage a sports team, be an agent. It's in that room.
Exactly. Exactly. Everybody wants to be a sport agent. And I'm like, okay. All right. Now, here's the point. I know a lot of people, but only a handful of sport agents. But I'm trying to learn how not to kill people's dreams, okay? Even though I just want them to wake up and get there with their eyes open. You know what I mean? Can we talk about the landscape of agents and lawyers in this business? Because I know, like, Nicole Lynn, she wasn't a full-time sports agent when she began. And they don't want to hear that. Can we talk about what it takes? I mean, I don't want to be like, what's the probability? But I'm going to, I said, so what's your first job going to be?
So I will say I do. So Nicole Lynn, absolutely love her. Follow her on Twitter. She's amazing. She's in the NFL, and I do FIBA. So I work, you know, on the international side of basketball, but, you know, getting to be a FIBA agent, it's really in this business, it's not always what you know. Sometimes it's who you know. You know, I had to work my way up from the bottom. Like I said, interned with, you know, the semi-pro team for a little while, took an internship in an area that I didn't really want to do, which was the, you know, interning, doing shot clock, you know, helping them with the marketing side of things. But, you know, in taking that internship as a FIBA agent, I market my players. So even though I didn't necessarily want to start there because I had already done marketing, I had already done sales, I was willing to start there again because I knew that hey, you know what? Although I've done sales and I've done marketing, this is a new lane for me. This is a new avenue of the business, and I don't know anybody in this business. So if I want myself out there and I want to know people and get to know people and be able to network, sometimes you got to take the job that you think you know that you don't want to do to get where you want to be. And so, you know, the path to an agent, I can talk about it from the FIBA standpoint. You know, I did the internship, worked my way up to working in the sports agency, you know, got my feet wet there with marketing clients, sending clients overseas, and decided that I wanted to branch out and get my own license to do it myself. But, you know, as an attorney, so there's a test that a majority of FIBA agents have to take, but I actually held off on becoming a FIBA agent for, you know, 3 years. I wanted to do, you know, wanted to get it as soon as I left the sports agency. But as an attorney, we don't have to take the actual licensing test that a general layperson will have to take, you know, because they use our, once we're barred as an attorney, they allow us to use that license to just, you know, and then pay the fees to become a FIBA agent. But still took me 3 years to get there because I had to wait until I passed the bar to be able to take that avenue. But, you know, in, you know, just taking that FIBA test, it's a lot of studying. There's classes, you know, there's classes that you can take to get there, but the test isn't easy. You know, learning the international laws and the governing bodies for the international, you know, for international basketball and being able to memorize that and sit down and take this test, it's not easy. And there's a test for the NFL, there's a test for the NBA. And the problem a lot of people don't understand, if you're not a good test taker, these tests are not going to be easy for you. These are not just walk in the park, okay, I'm going to check this off, check this off. No, they really want to know your knowledge, your understanding, because when you get into the realm, you know, of FIBA, when you don't understand the international laws, you have to reach out, you know, to arbitration attorneys who are licensed in the country, wherever, you know, you have sent your player. But as an attorney in the States, I have no pull internationally. So if my client has an issue here in the States, that's one thing. But if my client has an issue internationally, I have to partner with another attorney. But on the legal side of things, my ability to interpret, read, you know, dissect, pick out, you know, information, pick out information in contracts, pick out fraud and things like that, that's what I can do for my clients here. But internationally, although I still have to learn the law so that I can make sure my client is being treated fairly as an attorney internationally, I have no pull.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the podcast is
– go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Well, the podcast is really to help people with their career path. So can we just explain what FIFA stands for?
FIBA. So FIBA is the Federation of International Basketball Association.
Oh, that's a B you're saying, FIBA. Okay, sorry.
B, yeah, FIBA.
Okay, which is probably pretty helpful because many of our players play overseas before they even come to the NBA. Am I right?
Yes, they do. They do. A lot of players do, you know, they play overseas prior to being picked up by the D League or the NBA, yes. And a lot of FIBA players who, you know, who are, we have a lot of international players who, you know, are from these other countries who are noticed from their participation in FIBA, you know, FIBA registered basketball leagues in their countries like Spain and Serbia and things like that.
Wow. Now, you did say something that piqued my interest because we didn't cover that part. And this is really key because, again, if I got all these students talking about I want to be a sport agent and then you say you had to do some things you didn't really want to do because but you had experience in it, which was marketing and sales. Can you dial us back and take us back to when and where did you do that? Because, see, all I got was I'm in my master's program and I get my law degree. I need to break that down just a little bit more.
Okay, so my sales experience and my marketing experience actually happened prior to undergrad. I actually, right before I went to undergrad, got my insurance license. in Maryland. So I was selling marketing and, you know, marketing and selling Aflac insurance to businesses, individuals. And I did that for, I want to say, 5 years about. I did that for about 5 years. And, I did marketing and sales for insurance through, I want to say, my freshman, sophomore year of college, you know, prior to stopping that. But that's where a majority of my marketing and sales experience came from, was selling insurance to individuals and businesses.
Wow. So you did this before you went to college? I mean, were you college age?
So I actually graduated high school a year early. So I graduated high school when I turned 16. So I started working pretty early because I had already graduated high school.
Okay, we have a high achiever here. Ding, 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 ding. Wow, this is pretty interesting. So now the one thing I always ask the question, and they look at me like I'm crazy, I'm like, okay, so you want to be an agent. How many friendships do you already have with ballplayers here at the college? And they look at me like I'm crazy. Oh, I said, well, agents hire people that they know and trust. So you better start building some relationships or get practice in doing that. How true is what I said, or am I old and fogey with that thought?
No, that's very true, because a lot of times in this business, who a player signs with a lot of times deals with word of mouth. If you had, you know, if you have a friend, I know a couple of agents who started out that way, where they had a friend who played football or they played basketball, and their friend was their first client, you know, and they either went overseas or they've made it to the NBA, and then they built their brand that way. It's a lot of times it is word of mouth. So getting to know these basketball players, you know, getting to know the football players at your school, and if football and basketball are not what you want to do, baseball even, you know, getting to know these individuals who play these sports at your college, because it's word of mouth. If you, you know, if you build this friendship and then you decide that you want to be an agent, you know, you can lean on them. They can lean on you to get their career started. So it's really important to build those relationships prior to getting out of college, prior to, you know, starting your business, because that, you know, that's the groundwork of networking.
Yeah.
I was going to say, a lot of times in this business, when you're first starting out, people don't know who you are. People aren't going to know you. So, you know, if nobody knows who you are and you say, okay, hey, I'm a sports agent and I want to manage your career, they're going to look at you and say, okay, and who are you? What can you do for me? How do I know you can do this? You need that person or those two people who you built those relationships with prior to starting your business, like I said, to lean on, to help you, you know, help you make that name for yourself, get them somewhere so people can see what you're capable of. They can spread the word, and then people can see your work, and then, you know, you take off from there.
This is, yeah, I hope y'all are really, look, you know what, I think I'm going to have my students listen to this one, because they just think I'm just being, you know, I just can't see how you think by sitting in this classroom that you could automatically just be a sport agent. And I'm just like, and you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, even for me, I knew that I wanted to promote. I didn't know it was going to be athletes. It just came about because I know how to write sports stories. You know, so it kind of, so I already had relationships with athletes, and I was promoting them. And the promoting was to get people to come to the game, or the promoting to get the player All-American, you know, those type of things. And it just so happened that I was writing for the school newscast, and I was reading the feed, and I heard that we got a recruit that I grew up with. I was like, what? So we went to elementary school, but he went to a different high school. And so I could really write that story. So then when he came to the school, you know, then I began as a sports information person to promote the team, because by him being my friend, since elementary school, then I became friends with everybody else. So, yes, agency had never, I had never thought about that per se until situations when I was athletic director, one of my ball players was getting drafted and he was like, who should I get as an agent? And I'm like, are you talking about deer in headlights? And then unfortunately it happened to me again just recently, a football player who his ability is up, he said, do you know any agents? And I'm like, so I just started doing my Rolodex. And so if you know any football agents that want to work with HBCU players, I got one for them.
Okay. Let me, I can ask my network and see if anybody, if anybody's in the market for, anybody's in the market for football players, and I can definitely reach out to them.
Yeah. Now the, I'm thinking, but because, I mean, for football, the other alternatives are arena football. But for basketball, there's a lot more opportunities, wouldn't you say? You got the international, D-League, G-League, all these kind of things.
So basketball, there are a lot more opportunities, you know, that I know of, and that's simply because basketball is the realm that I, you know, that I've worked in the longest. But I have considered branching into football. But, I mean, football, yeah, there's NFL, there's the Arena League, and then there are some, you know, semi-pro teams, international teams, but they're a lot smaller. But with basketball, especially in the States, it seems like everybody has some league, some sort of league, you know. And even in those semi-pro leagues, that's where – you know, in the semi-pro leagues, that's where individuals get their stats and they get, you know, their ability to be seen by, you know, sports agencies or to be seen by international teams because, you know, sometimes with these leagues, they'll partner with these, you know, they'll partner with FIBA leagues or they'll partner with international agents who are able to get their players, you know, overseas. And even, you know, for a sports agent, even if you don't start representing people, you know, firsthand automatically who are going overseas, starting somewhere in the States in one of the smaller leagues, grabbing players, you know, from HBCUs, grabbing players from these smaller semi-pro leagues, that's your way, you know, into the big leagues, especially for international, because a lot of times these international teams will pull players from these semi-pro teams in the States. And a lot of people don't know that.
Well, I surely didn't know. So again, you got the template, you know, you got the template, and I got some more questions for you that came in for some other colleagues. But I figured it's a good time to take a commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to deep dive into some other areas of your expertise.
Okay, sounds good.
Hi, I'm Savanya DeBrose, the protector of athletes and creator of NIL Combine. NIL Combine is the number one premier name, image, and likeness event for student athletes, athletic directors, coaches, and parents. And we've partnered with UNC Asheville to bring forth a dynamic information session to help you understand why NIL Combine is the place to be. We are on a mission to support 50,000 student athletes in protecting, monetizing, and leveraging NIL through deep transformational information and support. And our vision is to build a network of experts that support athletes in discovering, building, and protecting their unique talents with the NIL Combine. So join us this Friday, January 20th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Visit bit.ly/NIL Combine info. I'll see you there.
My name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chatna Garden with Smith's Blooms in Athletics and Sports. Well, I got a couple questions for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So, Rakeisha Davidson, a freelance diversity recruiter, she's thinking of your journey into professional sports. What programs or initiatives would you recommend to students or professionals pivoting into the sports career?
So what program, So what programs or initiatives? So I think programs, there's a bunch of black sports business, you know, initiatives and programs on LinkedIn. They have, I'm trying to think of the actual name of it, so I can look it up.
Well, she's very proficient with the LinkedIn ones.
Okay.
So I would say if you're listening, I would say look up the groups that are inside of LinkedIn, and they offer lots of programming that necessarily, now, like many of my students are connected to, the guy is Curtis, is my former intern with the CIAA, and him and his Virginia State classmate, they created the black, I'm just like you, honey, I can't remember, but they're chosen from colleges, HBCUs. And so I got several of them that have gone through that, and they go to professional contests, and they'll do like a project. Like they went to the Panthers game, and they helped with the flag or helped with the community engagement outside of that. So, but the key is that when you join those type of things, you got to be ready to move. You got to have the time.
Yep.
You know, if you having a hard time doing classwork, you might not want to do this because it's a project. And you can't embarrass them because the people they have put together, they want to see results. And people are watching how you do that. You just can't ask for a letter of recommendation and you didn't pull your weight.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I would recommend joining the Black Sports Professionals Group. They have different chapters. They're also on LinkedIn, as well as if you can attend the Black Sports Business Symposium, I would also recommend attending that as well. Both great networking events. And in this business, networking is the foundation.
Yeah, I had a lot of students that went to the Atlanta event. And I saw some results from that. those networking pieces. Now, I'm going to have to just be self-serving and say that the Advanced Academy that we have within Seasons Empowerment is powerful. We met every third Sunday at 9 o'clock, and I do I lead a session on a leadership resource, or I have a guest expert and they do the same. But before we get into that, you know, we go around the Zoom Brady Bunch squares, and we share what's going on, you know, with each other. And the interesting, two individuals happened to be in the same, they lived an hour apart, had not met each other. And one was at a HBCU and one was at a Power Five. And you know they're going to collaborate now, you know. So the networking and learning together in a format where you feel safe, and I think this is really for not the students. This is for professionals who want to pivot. And one of the things I said this Sunday was it's important because we're talking about identifying potential leaders, like being on committees, being on conference committees. If you're not in sports yet, but let's say your sports commission, you know, a host committee, or someone to try to get to host something. So like Parks and Rec, facilities, some kind of government agency to try to host something. All of those entities are looking for volunteers and your connections. And, I mean, it could be as simple as if you were accounting, you do the accounting for AAU team. And AAU is huge. It's huge. And so these are the things that people can see, your commitment, your thought process, how you do conflict resolution. Because guess what? If you do that and then somebody there knows another person in athletics and looking for accountant inside the athletic department, you've got some experience. And I'm all about, I don't know if you heard my spiel in the beginning, I'm all about expert marketing, okay? So you got to let your expertise shine. And yet put yourself in a position where people can see how you are transferring from the real world back into sports. So that's my two cents.
And I do want to add a lot of the wanted to add to that real quickly. A lot of sports agencies, big and small, they will do trainings, courses. They will also have internship programs that they have. So if you just honestly Google sports agency internship programs, apply, get your foot in the door. One of the biggest one is Sports Management Worldwide. They have 8-week courses. They have certificate programs. They have, you know, Zooms and interactive courses and trainings and initiatives. And they actually have a pretty big internship program where you can, you know, intern in the specific area that you're interested in. They also offer apprenticeships as well. So go look for these sports agencies and apply for any courses that they're offering, or apply for any lunch and learn programs, whether it just be like a Zoom meeting, a Zoom training. Sit down and listen and get involved and just soak in as much of that information as you can, because a lot of these sports agencies that do these internships and trainings, this is experience that you can add to your resume as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, my second question has to do with she saw that you had some experience with sponsorship. So Queen Bailey, Chief of Staff at Rings versus Rent Scholarship Foundation and Life Coach Academy, would like to know about how to secure a sponsorship for an upcoming women's golf tournament in June.
So
she says, her rest of her question cut off. Let me go to, let me look to see exactly what she said. She said something like, when she visits these sites for sponsorships, I guess the corporate pieces. She says something to the effect, she says when she visits sites for corporations, it says they don't do sports sponsorship.
So a lot of places I've dealt with don't always offer sports sponsorship. So you have to tailor your packages. So when it comes to sponsorships, you have to tailor your packages, whether it be tier levels or whether you're selling different packages, to what will benefit their business. So sometimes when they don't do sports sponsorships in general, the best way to approach them is to offer them a way to market their business, whether it be, okay, so I'm buying ad space in a program that you're offering to participants or anybody who is a spectator for this sport. You kind of have to tailor it to what the business offers. So if they're saying, no, we strictly don't do sports sponsorships, okay, we'll say, well, then let me offer you this package where you can market your business and buy ad space in our pamphlet or our magazine. You kind of just have to figure out what their niche is and what they are willing to do and tailor what you're offering to that, in that way.
Well, that's interesting because if you're not in the business, doing this every day, you don't know the language is different. So sponsorship and advertisement, it's just like what I was talking about this magazine. So if you want to have a speaking engagement and they say that they don't pay for speakers, but you can say, well, can you buy the magazine for everyone? So they got a line item for materials, but they don't have a line item for a speaker. So guess what? You can still get paid because if you contribute to a magazine, you buy the magazine at bulk, and then you charge it, you upsell it, because guess what? You're going to sign the magazine. So that makes it a different magazine that they can just go buy on Amazon. So it's all about the language that you use. So saying advertisement, and we did that at Boo Williams. We wanted this team out of Texas. And to get this team out of Texas, we had to pay for their hotel rooms. So I had my student sell ads for the E program, which meant I wasn't printing it out, which means everything went to the bottom line. And so instead of saying, do you want to sponsor the tournament, we would say, do you want to put an ad in the program? And I kind of threw a little sauce to it. I said, we're celebrating Title IX. It's all girls high school tournaments, high school basketball. So everybody's going to have money for Christmas. Give us your sale. And young man did real well. He did real well. We were only $100 short for paying for the hotel room. But the thing is, what I was charged with, we need sponsorship. But I didn't go ask for sponsorship. I did exactly what you just said. You want to put an ad in the program. And then, I said, well, if you pay at this level by this page, we'll name a bracket after you. Because we didn't have sponsorship. If I had sponsorship, I probably wouldn't have added that on there. But I just added value because the brackets are called gold, brown, and black, and, those kind of things. So if you're trying to do those kind of things, just be real creative and think about, this is what I don't like. Just don't say, give me some money, I'm going to put your logo on a shirt. Because you got to buy the shirt. And you don't sell the shirt. So kind of think about, what can you do that you're already doing that you can put a price tag to. But honestly, Nichelle, I told her, it's not about going online and hitting a button. It's about who you build a relationship with.
Yep.
That's what I said. But.
And I will say.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, sponsorship-wise, I can say, for the professional teams, when we have to, when we want sponsorships, whether it be for uniforms, then we account the businesses that don't quote-unquote sponsored teams, you know, we'll sell ad space, and with the ABA, there's commercial time, so, you know, we'll sell them a commercial space, and that you know, that way we're putting their business out there for them during a commercial timeout. People are, you know, that way the people know your business name, you're getting something, and then we use that money to, you know, put towards our uniforms without saying that you've sponsored these uniforms, you've bought the ad space, we've given you a commercial, we've given your business recognition, we've given your business attention, and then you know, in turn given us that money, and we were able to use it for, you know, uniforms or whatever the case may be. And I agree, you have to be creative. You can't just say, okay, I'll give you an ad space or I'll give you commercial. What else am I giving you? Am I going to, you know, allow you to have signage on my floors or, you know, in our mm-hmm. program along with that ad space? Am I also going to give you a couple of tickets to games or, you know, give you a voucher for a meal to one of our partnership companies, you know, something like that? You just got to be creative because they're also going to want a return out of what they're giving you.
I like all those ideas. I really like, because, you know, we would have some restaurants just to drop off some coupons. You know what I mean? And, you want me to give it to the staff? But now I got an idea. Thank you for that. You even helped out the host.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate that. Because, again, I'm definitely not. Look, the one of the biggest money makers we have is the concession stand. So I'm not going to give you a coupon for our good fish everybody talks about. But I can always give them a coupon for another restaurant someplace else. So that's a great idea. Thank you. Because it does not hurt my bottom line. So, because that's what people are measuring you by. Do you increase or do you decrease my bottom line? That's what they look for.
Absolutely.
So I want to say thank you so much for spending this time with me this morning.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed myself.
Wonderful, wonderful. And thank you to our engineer, Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates on show guests and podcast follow-ups. Join us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.